You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hiltons bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And you're probably surprised to hear this voice, but Donna and I have been off the air here now for almost 7 months, and we're honored to be back. We've been through a lot, but...
Glory to God. God is faithful, isn't he?
Yeah, God's working on our side.
Yes.
So we welcome all of you again, and we want to thank all the people that filled in while we were gone. And Donna, you were going to mention some of the names.
I will in a few minutes.
Okay, and they filled in for us all those weeks while I was in the hospital, and I tried to listen to it on the radio when I could and all, and I had a hard time doing that sometimes because we couldn't get it on the phone or whatever.
Actually, it was over 7 months.
That's right.
We had people fill in for us.
That's right. And I just got back preaching at church, 3 weeks ago. It was the first Saturday. We're having we've moved to, we're sharing the Stewart Alliance Church over on Osceola Street, and we're there on Saturday on a Sabbath service or meeting from 2 to 4 every Saturday. And so I had my first share here a couple, 3 weeks ago, that I was able to speak some things and begin to speak on the Word of God. And so we're glad to be back, and we hope you're glad to hear us as well. And it's been a rough time, but God is always faithful.
Amen.
And you know, when I was in the hospital, I had some times when I was ready to throw in the towel. I couldn't comprehend what was going on with all the complications that happened after I had my open heart surgery. But you know, one day we had two people that we've known for years came, and they just happened to be in town.
Becky Marking
and Elaine Lambert. Some of you might have known Larry Lambert. And they spoke a prophetic word over us while I was in the hospital, over Donna and I both. And that was the day that a spark came, and I said, I gotta change my attitude. I gotta press in. God's on my side. I'll have the victory no matter what it looks like. And that's when everything began to change. And so that's what we have to keep in mind. No matter what the circumstances in our life, God will always bring us through if we'll just be faithful to Him. He is always faithful to us. And so we made it. Hallelujah. And so you're listening to a man right now. You're listening to a living miracle.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Because I was just telling Pastor Tom here at the radio station that after so many months, they tried to get me out of bed, and they took two people to hold me up. And there was nothing in my legs. I mean, it was like just like a couple hunks of spaghetti I was standing on. Just collapsed. There was nothing. I lost all my muscle content and all laying in bed all that time. But I've been through therapy, and I'm walking now I'm not on a walker. I'm not on a cane. And so we're doing good. And so you can continue to pray for me and also my precious wife. She's had some struggles going through some things with me during this time. And so But we're on the way, and we got the victory. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program today. We're honored to be back, and so we give God all the glory and all the honor for it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm not on video, but you can hear me. Hallelujah for that. As you can see, I'm going to put this little part of this teaching on Facebook, so you can know that we'll be on the radio on Saturdays, every Saturday at 12 noon. Of course, we're taping this today on Friday, so you can listen to this on Saturday at 12 noon from 12 to 1.
Called Raising the Standard.
Called Raising the Standard, and many of you have listened to it before. We've been on WCNO for over 20 years.
20 plus years, right.
And we do want to thank the last teaching that was done was by Pastor Ted Campo and his beautiful wife, Wendy, and they did a teaching on the marriage supper of the
Jewish
Lamb,
wedding, yeah.
Which is in Pastor Gene's book, and he'll hold that up so you can see it. And they did the 12 steps. They taught the whole thing. Wendy has been with us with Spirit of Prophecy for I don't know how many years, 10 or more years. And so she is Jewish, and she knows a lot about the Jewish history. And she has studied this book that Pastor Gene wrote, God's Prophetic Calendar, Prophetic Pictures of the Messiah. This is the book they talked about that you can order for $25 plus shipping and handling. And it has all the feasts of the Lord, talks about the end times. And of course, Pastor Gene's going to be teaching from this today. But they covered all 12 steps of the wedding of the Messiah and brought it into the church. We are Amen. The bride of Christ. Amen. So I want to thank them for their diligence and their study. And, you know, they were talking about the Jew and the Gentile, and that's what this radio is about, program's about. It's about the Jew and the Gentile. We're one new man in Yeshua, one new man in the Lord, and neither Jew nor Gentile. You know, we're all one in the Lord, male or female. We're all one Amen. In the Lord. So I want to thank them, and also I want to thank, you know, Tony.
Tony Bishop.
Tony Bishop was on, and also
Bill and Michelle
Bill
Nicole.
And Michelle and Nicole were on, and of course, Pastor Jonathan McLean
was
on.
Yeah, he was
on,
there, yeah.
And Pastor Tom a couple of times from the radio station here at WCNO, and that's where we're taping this right now at the WCNO radio station. And I want to show right here, this is Miss Margie Swaney.
We welcome.
And she has been, well, she's kind of hiding behind a mic. There you go. Hallelujah.
She's one of the elders in the church.
Yes.
And her husband.
Her and Melvin have been doing a lot of the work behind the scenes and the church set
to
up.
To help us out, yeah.
And teaching. She teaches the Torah. She loves the Torah.
Amen.
And she, you know, Pastor Gene's going to talk a little bit about the Torah because the Torah is good for us. Amen.
That's right.
It teaches us. Amen. It's just teaching instructions of the Lord. But I want to give our phone number. If you would like to order this book, I think we have a few left. We need to print.
It'll take
more.
Long to get them printed, yeah.
Right. So if you can call us at area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And you can get this book in just a few days. And you can start studying because we're going to be having the fall feast coming up.
That's right.
And
almost
so
there.
You don't have to read it as a book. You just read it as each feast comes along. You read that
portion
feast,
of it.
That
yeah.
portion. And there's end times are in here. Charts are in this book. Pastor Gene talks about the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. That's in there. There's a lot of teaching. I'd say it's a college course about the feast of the Lord. Because without knowing the feast of the Lord, we're not going to know what's going to happen in the last days. And we won't be able to see prophecy. Because if we think about prophecy, it says that Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
That's right.
And so that's what the spirit of prophecy, that's the scripture the Lord gave Pastor Gene out of Revelation 19:10.
To the name of the church.
Where it says, worship God for the testimony of Jesus
or Yeshua,
the spirit of prophecy. So we need to know about those things, those feasts, because, you know, Jesus is in every single one of them. So I would just say, since we're in the last days, this book would be a blessing to you. And there's a lot of people that are taking this book. It's not a denominational book.
No.
It's the Word of God. And Pastor Gene, everything is backed up with two or more scriptures. And so there's people teaching this in Baptist churches and non-denominational churches. I mean, people overseas are teaching out of this book. And we've been told that it's been a real blessing to many people. And so it's the work of the Lord. It's not copywritten. So you can copy pages. You can
do whatever you want,
you want with it. You can teach out of it, you know. I know you'll be a blessing to anyone you might share or the things that you would learn as well. So I just want to thank everybody who's been part of the Spirit of Prophecy. And I thank the people in our church that have been, that we stuck together, amen, like glue.
Amen.
And we have a small group, but that we love the Lord, and we do celebrate the Sabbath because the Bible said to remember the Sabbath because it's holy, and it's, and we're to remember these things, you know? It's in the
even
Ten
before,
Commandments.
Even before the Torah was put in place.
That's right. So we do have Shabbat Sabbath service over at the Alliance Church, and that's on Osceola.
Mm-hmm.
Right near the
hospital.
What is the address there?
445 Osceola.
445 Osceola.
Here in Stewart.
And it's a little white church. It's been there many years. Beautiful little church. So we meet there every Saturday at 2 o'clock. For now, that's where God has us. Now, if God wants us somewhere else, and you know a place where you can, we can go, give us a call.
Give us a call, yeah.
Because we have a lot of things in storage right now. Because we don't have our own buildings, so we are blessed to be in Pastor Jim Brosius Church and of the Alliance Church. He's a wonderful man of God and been in the city for a long time. And so he's opened his doors to us. So we're there every Saturday. So come and celebrate the Sabbath with us some Saturday from 2 o'clock until 4 or 4:30. And I know that we'll all be blessed. We have communion every Saturday. Mm-hmm. And we spend time talking about the Torah and whatever else the Lord would have us to share.
Amen.
So, Pastor Gene,
what
are you going to teach on today?
I just wanted to mention about the book. We never had this put in a hardback.
Right.
It's got a ring binder in it. And we did this because we thought, well, as time goes on, you find out more things, and you might want to add some things. And we've done this I don't know how many times over the years. And so it's nice that you, if you put it in a hardback, you have to buy so many to start back with. And then you got an old book. This way you can keep it updated all the time.
You we talk offer, about that, and because and also God shows you some new things.
That's right, all
you
the time.
You might get a new
revelation.
Revelation. God will show you something new. And then so,
that's right.
And or you feel like, you know, well, gee whiz, you know, we all sometimes aren't perfect in every area. So mm-hmm. He may have you add or maybe have you change something. So, you know, we keep it updated to what the Lord is saying.
He's showing
today.
Us all the time. The book is alive. You know, it's living. And so we thank the Lord for that.
It's
so,
not a book to make money on. No.
Nope. Never intended for that.
It's like the Bible. You know, the Bible is not to be make money on.
Nope.
No, it's free. It's free. So
that's
this
right.
This information that the Lord has given Pastor Gene over the years about the feasts of the Lord, and actually it ties in, if you want to know about end times, it's not just about the feast of the Jews. You know, the Bible doesn't say anywhere the feast of the Jews.
It feast
says
of the Lord.
Feast of the Lord. Who's the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty, the Holy Ghost, amen, the Godhead. And so it's about the feast of, it's about the end times, and it's about how God is going to fulfill every prophecy that's in our Bible up to the very end. So
that's right.
It's an end time teaching book, because we're not going to know about the end times unless we know the feast of the Lord, unless we know God's calendar, because God's not on the same calendar that we're on by any means.
And the sad thing is most of the church has been robbed of all this, because very few people are, well, there's a lot more now teaching than there were when I started this, but we've been robbed. I remember I got a publication one time from a Jewish ministry over in Israel, and on the front cover it showed this man, he had this face like he was screaming about something, at the bottom says, I've been robbed. Well, at the end it tells you, what was he robbed of? He said, we've been robbed of our Jewish roots. The Bible that we read every day is a Jewish document. It was written by the Jewish people. But thank God we've been grafted in, and now we can partake of all that and give all the blessings. Like Paul said, all the blessings of Abraham are ours. Amen. Yea and amen. So that's there. So anyway, I wanted to mention, if you'd like to give an offering to this ministry, you know, we're not on the radio for free. We didn't give you that information. You can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, mail to Post Office Box 413-413. That's in Stewart, Florida. And the zip is 34995 to keep us on the air. Now, before I start sharing anything, I'd like for Miss Margie here, if she's got something she'd like to share, and we'll go on with that. What I want to talk about, if we have time, I want to talk about a subject in the church that's been controversial for a lot of years. And it's not about the catching away. It's about something that the Bible has put in place, and it's never changed. We're going to discuss some things about the Torah today. And you know, Paul told us in Romans chapter 7, you know, the church is telling you it's done away with. He told us that the Torah was what? If you read chapter 7, he's going to tell you, he said, it was holy, it was just, and it's good. So it means it was holy, means it was set apart for you and I, and just means it's righteous, and the truth, and it's good for us. And you go down a few verses beyond that, and it tells you that the Torah for us today in the church is what? It's a spiritual thing. We don't do all the ceremonial things that they did, but there's a spiritual truth behind all those commandments that God gave us. And so that's what we want to keep in mind. So there's a teaching all around many places. I've heard it over and over that the Torah is obsolete and done away with. I want to share some things with you. We have time. If we don't finish it today, we'll finish it next week to show you that the Torah has not been abrogated or done away with.
Well, we have time. Because God want to hear, people want to hear you, Pastor. They want to hear you
Amen.
Teach. Amen. I've been saying, when's Pastor Gene going to come back on the radio? They're waiting to hear you. So people are excited that you're back on. Amen.
Yeah.
So I praise the Lord. And I, you know, I'm also going to post this on our Facebook so
okay.
you all can see it. Amen. So this is Miss Margie.
Go ahead, Miss Margie. What do you want to say? Speak up so they hear you.
Well, praise the Lord. And I'm just so grateful that Pastor Gene is back on the radio station and back at the Spirit of Prophecy Ministry, and he is a living miracle and testimony, and we pray that the ministry will go on even greater than before. Praise the Lord. Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna are going to talk about the Torah, and I just want to thank them both, and I thank the Lord for the Jewish roots that the Lord has given to him to talk about and to put into this book that he has written, as he has showed the Messiah book.
Amen.
God's prophetic calendar. Amen. And I'd like to share that when I first came to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, I didn't know too much about the Bible, but I was born again. And Pastor Gene had a lesson on Saturday, and he read word for word the whole Bible. And that was the first time that it was a Bible school, and we went through it word by word, and then we had a test. And at the end, a couple of weeks after that, it was all over, Pastor Gene came up to me and said, "Now, Marge, you're going to read this Bible yourself." And I did. And I prepared a place to read, and I called it my sanctuary. And I began to read the Old Testament, which is the Torah. And as I began to read the Torah, my eyes were opened. And if you have experienced not being able to understand the Old Testament, you can pray and ask the Lord to show you, to open your eyes, because it is wonderful. It is a holy word of God. And it teaches you, as this radio station is, raising the standard. It raises the standard and gives you the knowledge of what God expects from you. When you come to know him as your Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, it is the teaching word of God.
Hallelujah.
And it brings order to your life. And this is what it has done for me. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that it's not a story. It's not just Bible stories. It's a true word of God. These are true events. And they're not characters. They're real people. And these words help us to learn about ourselves and how to bring order to our life and how to live a holy life. It is a preparation for when Jesus comes for us that we will be ready. The bridegroom will be ready for the bride. So right now, we are preparing ourselves to get ready that we might have the white garments on when he comes for us. So that's what the Torah brings. It brings an order to our life.
Thank you, Margie.
And in Romans 7, as Pastor Gene has said, Romans 7 and 12, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments are holy and just, and they're good for us.
That's right.
Amen.
It's good.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you know, the Torah, the Bible talks about law, and he's probably going to mention that, Pastor Gene is, about the law. In the law, in many places where the law is mentioned in the New Testament, it means Torah, stands for the word Torah.
In other places, it doesn't.
In other places, it doesn't.
That's right.
You're right. But I'm thinking about what it says over here in Romans, where she was at.
It's chapter 7.
I'm looking at chapter 8.
Okay.
It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. That's the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Because and we talk about the Torah. You know, Jewish people read the Torah every year. They read it once a year. And the Torah is the first five books of the Bible in the Old Testament. So we've got the first five books. That's what is called the Torah.
That's Amen? Right. And the entire First Covenant is called the Tanakh.
The Tanakh, right. So the Torah is good, it's just, and it's righteous.
It's
and
good
like
for
she
us.
Said, it teaches us how to live a holy life. And who's
right.
Jesus coming back for? A holy people.
A holy group of people.
And he wants us to learn the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
And you're going to be teaching a series on that maybe soon about the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
Because you know a lot of people don't understand what the fear of the Lord is.
Yes.
All right, Pastor Gene.
Well, anyway, what we're going to talk about today, and I don't think we're going to get it done.
Thank you, Margie.
But if this is in my book, if you buy the book for $25, this is Appendix 3. There's a lot of talk in the church in different circles. I hear it on the radio, on TV, and ministers. And they tell the people that they're not under law, and the law is obsolete, and we don't need to have really any concern about it. It's for the old people. So the appendix I have back here, I got it broken down into three sections. The first one called, Is the Torah Valid for Today? Is it really valid for today? Well, Margie made it quite clear here that it is valid for today. So this is the question. Is it permanent, or is it just something that we just forget about?
No.
But whatever God wrote, it doesn't change. And first of all, if we're going to investigate this, I want you to see what Yeshua had to say about his word. This is talking about the Tanakh now, the entire Bible. In Matthew 24:35, he said this, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Jesus also said this in Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy, or means to abolish the law or the Torah, or the prophets, I am not come to destroy, but do what? To fulfill. This word fulfill is a very important word in this verse. It does allude to the fulfillment of all the things that Jesus came to do, and all we know that. But it also, the meaning of it, is to fulfill not only those things, but it tells us about the full understanding of what these verses are all about, the Torah. So we have to realize this. And so it does allude to the fulfillment of all the prophetic words which are spoken about Yeshua, his life, his purpose, and everything in the Bible is about him.
Amen.
But also, the fulfilling included making known the full meaning or the complete understanding of his word. Therefore, God's holy word is sure and will come to pass even as it has been spoken. We must realize and remember that the word Torah literally means the teaching and instruction of God for all of us. Amen?
Amen.
And for what for? Think about that for a moment, you listeners. And what is it for? That we might live a holy and righteous life before God. So how can the law be done away with, as we so often hear in the church today in the circles that they teach in? It can't be, okay? Now, I'm going to do another thing now on the second part of this. This is the question. Was the law brought to an end? This is the question we want to talk about a little bit here. And all right. Well, to answer this question for all of you, we must use one of the guidelines I put in this book in the beginning. And what was that? It's on the very first couple pages of my commentary. I'm going to turn over there for you. And we'll just read this out of the book here so I have it in the right order for you if you get the book. And you'll see how important this is for people to know this. Hallelujah. There's seven things that we should consider when we study the Word of God. This is on page one of the commentary. First, we need to have the historical evidence. Number two, the cultural evidence, how they lived in those days. Three, the contextual evidence. And so I like to call these ABCs, always based on what? Context. Because, you know, when we read the Bible, we get a text that we look at. Well, then we got to look at what? What the content of it is. And so we look at the context. And if we don't look at it and analyze it right, we come up with a pretext. We can come up with anything. And we'll hear a lot of that today about this. Now, the fourth thing is what? Scriptural proof. I wrote this commentary, and the Lord told me, don't put anything in here that you don't have at least one or two more references. And so I honored that.
Yes.
And the next thing is the definitions of the words, especially in Webster's 1828 dictionary. I'm going to say that again. You need to get Webster's 1828 dictionary. If you got a cell phone, you can get it on the phone and look up those words. And many times, it'll maybe have three or four definitions under that word. But if you just do what we just said, take that and you go back and read the context that you're reading in the Bible, and then you look at those definitions and you'll find the one that fits that verse. Amen?
Amen.
And the sixth thing we have to worry and think about is what? Grammatical forms. Verbs are very important in all the things that we read. Our English language, the verbs are all action verbs. It's the same thing with the Greek language. The verbs are so important to explain what's going on. Okay? Amen. And then the last thing, number seven, is what? All under the direction of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what we have to know. Amen? So that's why it's important. Okay? The Apostle Paul used the Greek word in Romans 10:4. You might want to, if you're at home, you open up your Bible to Romans 10:4, which is our English translation, gives the sense of ending or coming to a total conclusion. So Romans 10:4 says this, "For Christ is the end of the law, or the Torah, for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now, this is an interesting verse. Now, people's read this, and they try to tell us that this is telling us that the Torah is ended. But that's not what this verse means. The word end here is a Greek word pronounced telos, T-E-L-O-S. That's where we get our word for telescope. Well, what's a telescope for? To take something from way off, and we want to bring it in close so we can see what it's really showing us, okay? So what is the purpose of a telescope? To bring things together far away to a near place. Therefore, this word definition has a connotation showing a goal or an aim, not an end. So we could read it this way. For Christ is the goal or the aim, what? Of the Torah?
Yes.
For righteousness to everyone that believeth. It tells us, I think, in Galatians, that what? That the Torah was put in place as a schoolmaster,
yes,
to teach us. And that's what it's trying to show us here with all this, okay? So it's not an ending. It's a goal or an aim. Now, what was really ended here? There's something that did end in this, we think about it. Yes. See, God doesn't want us to be under any kind or form of legalism. So what ended there with the Torah was the legalistic aspect of it for the church today. We don't do all the ceremonial things. We don't do all that. But the truth is there, the spiritual truth. When he said, do not steal, did he mean that or did he mean something else? Did he say, do not commit adultery? Did he mean that or did he mean something else? He said exactly what he meant. And that's what we have to follow. He tells us what to do and what not to do. Okay? And so he wanted to end the legalistic ceremonial aspects of the Torah.
And didn't Jesus say he came to fulfill the law?
He sure did. We just read that verse up there. He came to fulfill every aspect of it. Okay? Not that the spiritual aspect has come to an end, as it says in Romans 7:14.
Yes.
We just read that. Yeshua did end, now think about this, the necessity of animal sacrifices to him due to his sacrifice for the sins of the world. So think about this. Now the word New Testament, if you look up that word in with the Hebrew, it means a renewed testament. So in other words, God kept most of it, but there was something renewed. There was two things that was renewed from the first covenant to the second covenant that we're under right now. What was those things that were renewed? First of all, no more sacrifices. What's the next thing? There was no high priest that was put in place by man, but a man that never officiated at the altar of God from the tribe of Judah, and his name happens to be Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah.
Yeah.
So he became the high priest. Those are the two things that's changed. Nothing else has changed, okay? But we don't want to get off into legalism. So those things that were far off, which were the sacrifices, truly did come to an end, didn't they? Yeah. Except for Yeshua was the last one. But we see much more clearly, don't we? Don't we see much more clearly now? When we understand all this, we understand more.
Yeah.
Therefore, we would translate this verse with the correct word definition like this. For Christ is the end, listen to this now, of the legalistic aspects of the law or the Torah for you and I as a believer in Christ. If you don't know Christ, well then it doesn't fit you at all. But if you know the Lord, it's assuring you that it does. We don't have that legalistic aspect anymore. And it says, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Amen? Now we're going to find out as we read through this. Donna mentioned the word law up front. Now that word in the Greek is the word nomos, N-O-M-O-S. Well, it can have three different meanings. Now when people see it in the Bible that haven't been taught, they think right away about the Torah. Well, that's not the case. It could be. It could be the Torah. It could be a specific law or a commandment or a decision that God's made for us to walk in, or it can also be a controlling principle, a law to control people. The enemy came, he's trying to control us, but see, the Holy Ghost came so that God will lead us instead of the enemy. And so we want to be controlled by the Holy Ghost and God's word, not by what the man says, the world says, or the enemy says, okay?
And we have to be in agreement with the word.
That's right. We have to be in agreement.
We're going to allow the Spirit to work in us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So thank God we're not required to do ceremonial aspects of the Torah. However, the spiritual aspects are still active for today. And I preach that. I'll preach that till I die or the Lord takes me off the earth. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible informs us, we read this in Romans 7:12, that the Torah is holy. The commandments are holy.
Yes.
It's just. Okay, what's that mean? It means it's righteous and it's good for you and I. Amen? And we mentioned, you go down a few verses past that point, and it says that the Torah, Paul said what, is spiritual. Did you hear that? It's a spiritual thing that we put in practice today. Another aspect of the Torah is to reveal mankind the terribleness of sin. How terrible is sin?
Amen. Amen.
And to identify what sin is.
Yes, Father.
Okay? So what is sin? Anything done contrary to God's word for us. So even as the Apostle Paul declared in Romans 7, that without the Torah or the law, he said, listen to what he said. He says, nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, which is the Torah, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And that's in Romans 7:7. To conclude this aspect on this teaching, I am reminded when the Apostle Paul stated again in the New Testament, in Galatians 3:24, listen to this. This is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, he said, the law of the Torah was our what? Schoolmaster. We mentioned, what's a schoolmaster for? To teach and train young people. To bring us unto Christ, that we might be what? Justified or declared righteous, how? By faith, nothing else. Thus, that which was afar off is now near, so we might truly know the purpose of the Torah for us even today. Good, huh?
Amen.
That's right. So how are we doing on time here? We're doing all right.
We're doing good. I'm going to stop this and start it again.
Okay. So we hear this in the church a lot, that we don't need to even be concerned about the law, they call it. Now, I don't like that word, really. It's, you know, if it's the right word, it's Torah. And so we have to remember that. If you read Romans chapter 7, real close, you'll see what Paul had to say about what was causing his problem in his life. Now, I was accused one time by another pastor years ago that what I taught in their men's meeting was not true. And he said that Paul was not saved when he wrote Romans chapter 7. Well, why would an unbeliever write Romans chapter 7? Huh? But he was. If you look at all the verbs, we talked about verbs a moment ago. If you look at all the verbs in Romans chapter 7, they all mean, it means this. The
active
verb, it means present truth. It's going on moment by moment by moment. So Paul struggled with his walk just like you and I do. He had times he missed it. He had times that he did the right thing. And he got mad at himself because he didn't do the right thing. And you go on down and read it, and he tells you what it is. It's because of a sin nature that we have within ourselves. And I've heard this taught, well, once you're born again, you don't have a sin nature anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, I got news for you. Every day that Gene gets out of bed, he has to deal with this guy called Gene, and all help I can get is from the Holy Ghost and from the Lord. And so we have to keep this in mind. So sin doesn't go away just because you're born again. We have to walk it out with the Lord and to obey his word, and then sin won't have as much effect on our lives as it does with most people. Amen?
Amen.
And we got this wishy-washy things going in the church today.
Grace.
And we got this grace message. It's a license to sin. And it tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 that we can insult the Spirit of grace by the things that we do. And so we got to remember what God had put in place with all this for us to know this. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is this legalistic aspect. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 14. Now, I'm not going to read all of this, but I want to pick some things out of it for you that you might see this, and we might have time to get this done. Okay, so we're going to look at this. In Galatians 3, 2, and also verse 10, the Apostle Paul uses this term, under the law / works of the law. Now, think about this. There's not a word in the Greek language which defines our English word legal, legalistic, or legalism. There's no word for it. So the Apostle Paul uses this term, under the law, when alluding, now listen to this, alluding to the legalistic aspect of the law. So what's man done? He's taken the Torah and he's perverted it into a form of legalism. And the Jewish people do that a lot as well, you know, all the ceremonial things they need. Now, if they get born again, they realize they don't need to do all those things.
Amen.
Also, he used another term referring to legalism called the works of the law. So what is the definition of legalism? Now, this is interesting, because I looked this up one time in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. Even Webster's Dictionary, in 1828, does not have this word listed because it was unheard of when that was written. Can you imagine that? We didn't have that in our English language back then. So think how long ago Paul lived, yeah? But our modern definition of the word from Webster's tells us this and defines this word as, listen to this, extreme conformity to the law or moral codes. Mm. Therefore, the word extreme can and does refer to what? Legalistic aspects with such rigid compliance that one man might make rules or another man, and laws are turned and done a different way, and a set of commandments all can bring legalism. And so I have a term I use in this book called a fence. You know what a fence is for? You fence your yard in, you got animals or whatever, and you don't want anybody to get in. Well, what the Jewish people have done, and they still do it today, they take a commandment that came out of the Torah, and they put a fence around it. And sometimes they got lots of fences around it. And what do they do? What's the purpose? They want to make sure that they keep the one law or one commandment. Amen? Remember when Jesus got on the Pharisees, when they were talking about, well, you must wash your hands before you eat and all that. And he told him, he says, that's a bunch of legalistic stuff. He says, what's going to defile a man is what goes into his mouth and what comes out. That's what's going to defile him, what he's speaking and saying. Amen.
And it comes from the heart.
And it comes from the heart. That's right. So this is what this means, okay? So the fences is an important word. In other words, the rabbis added these fences around the commandments to help enforce the original commandment, which is legalism. Now, you know, the Jewish people have writings. They have the oral law, and they also have the Bible. Now, we find here in America that most of the Jewish synagogues, they spend more time on the oral Torah than they do the written Torah. But you go to Israel, the rabbis over there, they are in the Torah. See, those oral things are mainly written by men thinking what God might have said. And so that's what they use that here more than anything else. Amen.
And Jesus wants us to see the spiritual aspect
Absolutely.
Of the Torah.
And everything. That's right.
So that we can live a holy life, so we don't have to fall back in the flesh.
Right.
Because we live in the flesh, and we live in a world of flesh, and we see a lot of these things going on in the world.
Sure
everywhere.
Do.
Television, movies, everywhere you go.
That's right.
In the schools, school system, look what they're teaching our children.
That's right.
You know, everything that's wrong, they're not teaching the truth. There's no Bible in the school anymore.
Nope.
But then we need to pray for that the Bible will come back in the school, and the Ten Commandments can be put back on the walls of the school, because that's where the truth is. Because,
right.
like you said, it's, you know, it's the heart. And so Jesus is coming back for a holy people, and so that's why we need the fear of the Lord.
You sure do.
Because he's not coming back for those who think they've asked Jesus in their heart.
Or they can do whatever they want to do.
They're still living a sinful
that's
life.
That's right.
a license to sin. He says he's coming back for those, you know. He's coming back for those who are seeking holiness and seeking truth.
Amen.
And want to live a righteous life and really do understand the fear of the Lord. We need to know and understand the fear of the Lord. I don't think there's much teaching on that nowadays. And so people, they just take everything, they take God for granted, I believe, you know, many times.
It's an important word because I think about what it says in Proverbs. The beginning of knowledge is what? The fear of the Lord. The beginning of what?
Wisdom
mentioned is what? The fear of the Lord. So it all fits together. We have to honor him. Well, we have a good example in Mark chapter 7, what Jesus talked about this legalism, about this food. Look at this. When the religious leaders questioned him about eating with unwashed hands, they found fault with these men. Now, in verse 7, Yeshua said this, "Howbeit in vain," that means emptiness, waste of time, "do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Well, what is that? It's called legalism.
Those are some of the fences, right?
Right. He goes on in verse 8, "For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups." That's not going to make us holy, washing cups and pots, okay? There are many examples regarding man's doctrines and traditions. Even today, there are many in the church that people believe in. Men?
Thank you, Father.
Even today.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
They'd rather believe what man says about legalism and all than taking God's word literally without adding or taking away anything from it. God said in Deuteronomy, I'm going to have you turn over there.
Deuteronomy
chapter 4. I think these two verses are very important because we're talking about the Torah and the law. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. This is where Paul was reemphasizing all the things that Moses had taught Israel in those first four books of the Torah. And he was, summarizing the whole thing for us to know. Mm-hmm. So read verse 4, verse 2 in that.
It says, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord," Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, that's what that is, "Lord, your God, which I command you."
So he's telling us there, we don't add to and we don't take away. Now, Revelation chapter 22, God declares again, closing out the book, the same thing. So read Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. I mean, this is really a stiff penalty if we don't do this. You know, these commandments are not suggestions. God's expecting us to walk in the things that he's given us and the light that we have in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen?
And this is what Jesus said at the very end of the book, right? Revelation 22.
18 and 19.
18 and 19. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." We're reading the New Testament.
That's right. This is all New Testament.
19. "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy," who's the spirit of prophecy?
Jesus.
"God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book."
That's a pretty stiff penalty, isn't it, when you think about it, huh? Mm-hmm. So when we think about all these different translations we have today from the Bibles, there's tons of them. What have they done? They've added or they've taken away. I've done this. I've studied the original NIV Bible, and they have 64,098 less words than a King James Bible does. Well, where did those words go? They were removed. Well, who removed them? Man did, to put money in their coffers, to change the meaning of things. And so words have been taken out, words have been added, definitions are changed by a different type of a word. And so we have to keep all this in mind when we put it together. Amen?
I'm reminded of what you said to the church many years ago about the word definition. Do you remember what that was?
I don't know.
About defining a word?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, I know what you're thinking about. I read this one time and I dropped it in my heart. The ability to define words is the ability to control people. Hitler was really good at it, and a lot of other people have been good at it. So defining words are important. And so the Bible makes it quite clear. We need to take God's word, what he gave us, and don't change it to anything else.
We need to be, if I mean, we don't speak Hebrew or understand it, but we need to, then there are places you can go and find out what words mean in the Hebrew. We need to stay as close to the original.
That's right.
As we possibly can.
That's right. Now, one other thing before we close on this part of it. The apostle in Galatians 3:13 about adding or taking away from the Torah. 3:13, the apostle Paul stated this: Christ hath redeemed us from what? The curse of the law or the Torah. Now let me ask you this: Is that what's cursing us? Is the law? No, what causes the curse is we don't keep the commandments. That's where the curse comes from.
Amen.
From the curse of the law being made a curse for us. We must understand that We must understand that the curse was not what? The Torah. It's the curse is not keeping it, but the verse was not being able to keep the law. Yeshua took the curse upon himself for us. Aren't you glad? He took it all. Paul also stated that the law, the legalism of it, is not a faith, but a misuse of the first covenant text. The just shall live by faith, not legalism. Amen?
Amen.
So let's
that's
do
verse 11. The just shall live by faith.
I'm going to get my Bible out here. We got a few more minutes. I want to read this. This is very, very important. We're going to close out today with this, I think. I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 3. I made some notes in my Bible years ago, and this is very important to understand this. See, we need to understand the Jewish thought and content behind all these verses, but so many people, they think that we're done. We don't need the Torah anymore, but that's a lie right out of the pit of hell. All right, I'm going to go to chapter 3 of Galatians, and we're going to read this. I'm going to start in verse 10. For as many as are the works of the law, this is a legalistic system, what? Of converting the law into legalism, are under the curse, and they are. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Well, because we don't do them, does that mean God's cursing us? No, we curse ourselves because we don't obey the word of God. Now, verse 11, but that no man, listen to this, that no man is justified, that means being declared righteous, by what? The law, or this means the Torah, in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. That's over in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And what is that? It's a form of legalism. And in verse 12, and the law, which is the legalism of it, is not a faith. It can't be. But, here's a but. But you're going to find it's a misuse of the Old Testament text into something that God doesn't want. And the Torah, the legalistic aspect, is not a faith. It's a misuse. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come, to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive, I love this, the promise of the Spirit. How? Through what? Legalistic things? What's it say? Through what? Through faith. It's always been by faith, no other way. There's no other way. It's got to be by faith. Yeah, I don't think I'd have time to do this, the last part of this. Yeah, I won't. But anyway, this is so key. Now, next week we'll probably go on and talk about this some more. And the next topic we'll talk about has the Torah become obsolete? You know, the book of Hebrews makes it sound like it's obsolete. No, it's no good anymore. And then the last part I'm going to do next week will be the proof of the high priest replacement. We got a different high priest. We mentioned it a while ago. There's only two things that's changed from the first covenant to the New Testament covenant. What is it? We have a new high priest. And there's no more sacrifices.
Amen.
That's the only thing that's changed. And that's not legalistic. You know, I had somebody tell me one time, well, Pastor Gene, when you tell people they shouldn't do this or they shouldn't do that, that's you're in the realm of legalism. I says, you don't, the word of God is never legalism if you take it for what it says, literally. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to read it literally for what it says. And when you do, then you won't have any problems with what God's having you do. So we walk it out with him. That's it. No legal aspects whatsoever. You know, churches make up things you have to do. There's denominations even today that claim that if you're not born again and speaking in tongues, well, you're not gonna make it to heaven. Well, the Bible doesn't say that anywhere. And some of the groups say, well, if you're born again, you're not water baptized, you're not going to go to heaven. Well, we have a scripture that shows that that's not necessarily true. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the two thieves, the one thief decided, hey, this man is truly the Messiah. And so he asked Jesus if he could be with him in paradise that day. And Jesus says, today, not tomorrow, not in the future, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, he never had an opportunity to be water baptized, but he was saved, wasn't he?
Yes.
And so we should do it if we can, but if you can't, well, you can't.
Amen. You know, I like what it says in verse 14 of chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
It says that the blessings of Abraham, now that's in the Old Testament, isn't it? The first covenant.
Uh-huh.
Blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit. How? By faith.
That's right. Only
verse
by
18
faith.
Says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So it's a promise. God doesn't break his promises.
That's right. And the Bible tells us what? We walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
And I like what it says in the book of Hebrews. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, that's always in the future. What? What's the rest of the verse say?
Go ahead.
What does it say? Faith is a substance of things hoped for.
The evidence of things not seen.
We don't see it. When I was in the hospital, I thought I was done.
Can't see faith.
But see, God gave me a hope that I was going to make it. And so that was by the Spirit. And so it came true with me. And a lot of people have different things that happen in your life, and you can prove that. And so he asked us to walk by faith. That's what it's all about.
Because it says the promise of the Spirit through faith.
That's right.
So we need to have faith.
It's in everything.
By the Spirit of God gives us that.
That's right.
Of faith.
And that's for Jew, Gentile. And so that's what God wants us to know.
Thank you, Lord.
And how do we get that faith? We come to Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. We turn our lives over to him and we follow him. We walk with him and we do it by faith. We may not see everything, we may not understand everything, but as we walk with him, we're going to grow and mature, and we're going to understand some things we never knew before. I can think how far I came the first year I got saved. I was so hungry for God, and I read my whole Bible, and I wouldn't miss a church meeting or anything. I was so hungry for God. Well, he honored that, and he kept dumping more and more things into me and Donna's life all the time, and because we were hungry. And so you got to be so hungry, you're going to be too desperate to be denied. God will be there on the scene. And see, I failed in the hospital because I almost gave up on God. I said, well, why am I here? Why would you allow this to happen to me? Well, he didn't do it to me. I'm in a fallen world, and it happened. So I got to make the best of that. And so we can't do that. We got to walk by faith. He showed that to me clearly. You must trust me. So part of faith is what? Trusting God. I like what John 3:16 says. What? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that believeth there means you've got to trust, rely, and depend upon him and everything that we're doing. It's in the present tense in the Greek language. Believe all the time.
Amen.
No doubts.
I have a star by verse 24, and we're going to close.
Okay.
Therefore, the law was our schoolmaster, which
we talked about,
to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're just blessed to be on WCNO.
Yes.
Our first time back in
seven months.
And we do thank all those that have helped us throughout these 7 months and kept this radio program going, raising the standard. I hope you're blessed by it, and we'll be here. We're here every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 p.m. The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. And if you'd like to have this commentary that Pastor Gene has been talking about, you can give us that call at area code 772-285-7007, and we'd be glad to get that to you. It's $25 plus shipping and handling. And we're just blessed to be back here, aren't we,
right,
Pastor Gene?
And if you'd like to come to a meeting and honor the Sabbath. We do it on Saturday afternoon at the Alliance Church from 2 to 4. You can sit in and see how we honor the Shabbat. We take communion, and we preach the Word of God. So come and visit if you'd like to.
And we don't do it legalistically.
Nope,
you know,
sure
people say, well, why do you do Saturday? Well, you know, we're to worship God every day of the week.
Every day of the week.
And we want to, we do like to remember the Sabbath day and come together at that time and honor the Lord. And, you know, it's Jew and Gentile come. We do have some Jewish people. And so, but God is wanting us to all to be one, to come to Yeshua
right.
and to worship him in spirit and in truth.
So if you got any questions you want to ask or anything, give us a call. Our phone number is area code 772-285-7007. We'll try to answer your question if we can. And God will always give the right answer if we just look to him in everything that we do. We thank you that Margie Swaney is here with us today and shared some good things that we need to know. And she found out how important the Torah was at the very beginning. And so it is. So
amen.
Praise God
yeah,
for
amen.
That.
Praise God. If you'd like to send an offering for this radio broadcast, Raising the Standard, you can send it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995.
Amen.
Amen.
So as we close out, we tell you every week to look up because your redemption draws nigh. And trust God in everything that you do, and you're going to be a success. So we give God all the glory and the honor and the praise as we close the program. We just tell you all to be blessed, follow him, and you will in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We've got 2 minutes yet, Pastor G.
Okay.
Amen. Well, we're just blessed, and thank you for keeping us in prayer.
Yes.
We're both of us are been coming, having to deal with some health situations, but we're trusting the Lord to continue to
we're on the mend.
Strengthen us, and so keep us in prayer, and we just thank the Lord for your prayers and for those of you on Facebook that have prayed for us, and I know there's people praying that for us that we don't even have any idea who they might be, but we just thank the Lord. And the other day I was praying, and I said, Lord, I just thank you for just one person who's praying in faith.
Yes.
Because I've got some things I'm dealing with as well.
That's right.
Having to take some treatments. So, you know, we all need prayer. And so as we pray for each other, we know that God has the answer if we believe in faith. Amen. So we say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace.
And tell them to have a great day.
Have a great day. Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, okay. and rest. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Hallelujah. God is good. Amen.
Yeah, he is.
God is good, and we just love you guys. And
yeah, I'm in Boston.
For your phone calls, and I guess we still have a couple of minutes or a couple of seconds. Oh, we're down to 15.
Yeah.
Well, hallelujah. We thank Jonathan McLean.
It was raining in the morning, so
how long we have to speak. So, anyways, God bless you all, and thank you so much.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting.
Yes.
I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.
Yeah, I can hear you. When she comes in, can you just text me this is so I can wrap it up? I appreciate it. Thank you.